Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Thank you, Mike. Our second reading this morning also comes from the book of Romans, a chapter earlier. This is one of Paul's long benedictions that he puts in occasionally, not even at the end, but in the middle. But he does that, so we'll read his words from Romans 12, 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, and here Paul is quoting Proverbs 25, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This ends our scripture lessons for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words, and whenever God speaks, the words are true, and we can trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I told you we were starting a conversation on the future of this congregation. And of course, conversation wasn't quite the right word because I did all the talking. But what I'm hoping for, with this little three-week excursion we're on, that it might get you all to thinking on your own and then talking with each other without anxiety, without fear, about your future as a congregation here in Mezzomani. Because, in my opinion anyway, this is a conversation that you absolutely must have. Every congregation has to have this conversation periodically. And again, in my opinion, it is at least as important now as it ever has been in the 150 some years of this congregation's life. And this has to be your conversation. One thing you can be sure of as we move through this together, I am not going to be the one telling you what you should do, because I don't know what you should do. You all together are a manifestation of the body of Christ in this village of Mezzomani. You were planted here a long time ago. You are today as you always have been, empowered and guided by the Spirit of God. So if you want some help in figuring this out, go there. Talk together, pray together, listen together, for the direction of the Spirit, who always has been and always will be walking with you, helping, encouraging, strengthening you to move as boldly as you are able to whatever comes next. The pastor's job in any church is to walk with you through this time, to ask questions, to help you process your concerns, to offer a range of ideas you might consider. So in that line, let me suggest for you the kinds of questions you might ask as you contemplate together this next phase of your journey as a church and of your ministry here in Mesomanie. You might frame these questions I have for you a bit differently than I do, and that would be just fine. You know yourselves and your church a whole lot better than I do. And keep in mind that nothing of what needs to be done will happen if you don't do it. So, for the sake of the conversation, I'll give you the kinds of questions I think about, and then I have another story to give you. You might ask each other questions like these. Where is the path we are on right now taking us? If nothing changes, where will we be a year from now, or 5 years, or 10 years from now? If you are happy with this current path, how will you sustain it? If you're not happy with it, how might you imagine something new? What do you imagine God dreaming for you? This is the most important question to think about. And how might you faithfully and courageously live into that dream? What concerns you the most about your future? And what excites you about your future? So with that, I want to read for you a lightly edited meditation written by Cameron Trimble, who is somebody that I read several times a week on her Substack page. Now, she isn't talking here about the future of the church, or it's not just that. She is writing about what we might to consider as we live into any future, our personal lives, our family, our church, our country. She's thinking here, it seems to me, about how we might be the best manifestation of a people living for the glory of God and for the flourishing of our neighbors. She titled this piece 70 Years, and it goes like this. The Babylonian Talmud, it's a nearly 2,000-year-old Jewish collection of stories, tells one story about a Jewish sage and mystic who was called Honi the Circle Maker. Here's the story. One day, Honi was walking along the road when he saw an old man planting a carob tree. "How long will it take this tree to bear fruit?" Honi asked. 70 years, the man replied. Honi was puzzled. "Are you certain that you will live another 70 years to enjoy it?" And the man answered, "When I came into this world, I found it filled with carob trees planted by my ancestors. Just as they planted for me, I am planting for my descendants." The story then shifts unexpectedly. Honi sits down to eat, falls asleep into a deep sleep, and a rocky formation grows all around him, hiding him from view as he sleeps for 70 years. When he awakens, he sees someone gathering fruit from that carob tree. "Are you the one who planted this tree?" he asks. "No," the man replies, "I am his grandson." And Cameron continues here. "I often think about that image, a grandfather planting a seedling knowing he will likely never taste its fruit. In his mind, there is a child who has not yet been born. He does not know the child's name or face. He does not know if that child will be grateful or if anyone will remember who planted the tree. He only knows that someone planted for him. So he kneels in the soil and gives that same love to the future." We have all eaten from trees we did not plant. We drink water that was protected by people who fought for laws before we were born. We go to schools and libraries built by people whose names we no longer remember. We worship with prayers, songs, stories passed down through the centuries by those who made sure they survived. We live with freedoms won by people who knew they might not live to see them. Our lives are possible because someone cared about a future that did not include them. This realization feels especially important to me now because we have inherited wounds as well as gifts. We have inherited racism in our institutions, economies built on exploitation, soil that has been depleted, a changing climate, and a democracy that is more fragile than many of us realize. We inherited carob trees and damaged ground. Now it is our turn to decide what we will leave behind. And that can feel overwhelming. The problems we face are huge and our lives are short. We may never see a healed climate, a fair economy, a restored democracy, or a church free from the fears and prejudices that have limited its witness. We may work hard for years and still wonder if anything changed. When the harvest will not come in our lifetime, it is easy to stop planting. The man by the road shows us a different way to think about faithfulness. He does not think he has to finish the story. He knows his life is just one small part of it. His job is to give the future something that can grow. Perhaps this is the hope we need now. It is more than subtle optimism. It is not promise that everything will turn out as we hope. It does not ignore the harm already done or pretend that every seed will survive. This hope simply places something into living ground. A teacher does this by helping a child trust their own voice. An elder does this by telling the truth about a past others would rather forget. A congregation does this by shaping people for courage instead of just protecting itself. A community does this by restoring a stream or preparing a young leader whose work will last long beyond those of us who are here now. We plant whenever we give something to the future without demanding that the future reward us. This takes a special kind of humility. The people who enjoy the fruit may never know our names. They might take for granted what cost us something. They may tell the story in a way that we would not have told it. Still, they will need that tree. I wonder if love has always worked this way. We get more than we can ever repay from those who came before us. And then we spend our lives passing something on. The fruit we received becomes seed to give to someone else. Today, consider what was planted for you. Think of someone whose courage, kindness, or sacrifice made your life better. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent. Maybe it was a teacher, pastor, neighbor, friend. Maybe you never knew their name. Let yourself feel the love contained in what they left behind. And then ask, what are you planting now? Pick one thing to do, even if you never see the results. 70 years from now, someone may rest under the branches that are not there yet. They may taste something sweet because you believed their life mattered before you knew their name. Don't plant for yourselves. Plant for them. Amen.